the day we got born again, we were born into the promised land. You live based on what God has said. You carry it in your spirit. If He has said it, it's true. Your joy, your fulfillment, your mood is independent on happiness. So we don't live based on happiness. We live based on God's will. We live from the inside. Let your heart be established in grace. You are a mobile temple. Prayer is allowed anywhere, anytime. Sito keto monti kate rito kopoto kata suda kaponda kidede. Christianity is a display of divine as two men on earth. You see, when spiritual hunger gains the ascendancy, gains the dominance over your mind, you don't even see anything as sacrifice.
So as you grow spiritually, you generate a potential difference. And that potential difference will bring to you the monies you need. It will bring to you the people you need. It will bring to you the necessary materials you need to fulfill your God-given calling on the earth.
Church, are you ready for God's word? Amen. See, my heart is open. I can't hear you, church. My heart is open. My mind is alert to receive fresh word from God that will change my life forever. Hallelujah. Do you believe that? God's answer is His word. Amen. And that is what everyone who wants to receive from God should go for. The Bible says they were in distress. Their soul draweth nigh unto death. And they cried out to Him. What did He do? He sent His word and healed them and delivered them from their destruction. God's word is God's answer. I say it all the time that a generation that despises God's word will be trapped. You see, the ministerial anointing or the anointing upon you to carry out your assignment on the earth does not protect you from deception. It doesn't. It is the anointing within that protects you from the waves and the schemes and the craftiness of Satan in our generation. And that is so important. Meaning a man can be heavily anointed and very deceived if he doesn't give attention to the word of God in his spirit. We'll call it a personal anointing, the believer's anointing. John said, you have an unction from the Holy One, right? And you know all things. And you don't need any man to teach you. You know, in context, he was talking about the Antichrist. Because the verse before then, or a few verses before then, he said, I write concerning those that seduce you. Amen. So he was talking about the Antichrist. And as it relates to that, he says, you have an unction from the Holy One. And you know all things. Going to the 27th verse, I believe, he says, that anointing that you have abides within you. We call it the resident anointing. It feeds on the word of God. It feeds on the word of God. How do you know which businesses to do? Do you know you can do your research, survey, and everything on the outside is looking good for the deal? Everything on the outside supports you making the deal. But you could have a witness in your spirit that there's something wrong about this deal as a business person. Are you aware? And you see, these signals come from our spirits. They come from a spirit that is illuminated by the word of God. How do you know what to get involved with? Even when everything on the outside looks like it. The word of God in your spirit. The spirit illuminated by the word of God. Do you know one of your greatest assets in this end time is a strong spirit? Your greatest asset in the evil day is a strong spirit. And there is no way to build a strong spirit without the illumination of God's word in a man's heart. There is no way to build a strong spirit without consistently depositing the word of God in your spirit. Without consistently investing the word of God in your spirit. Very important. Very important. This is why we cannot be given to stories. We must learn to sit down and feed on God's word. In corporate meetings and personally. When you get to that point where your knowledge of God is not the general knowledge. You know, you can have the general knowledge of God. We come to church, maybe in the same connect group, the same home cell group, the same department in church, and we are just here with the Holy Ghost. Oh, great. But you see, you must get to that point where the word you hear is personal, where you understand what is being taught, and then you are living the word that is being taught. Very important. Hallelujah. Again, I say, God's word is God's answer. We say that if the word of God cannot help you, the God of the world cannot help you. Very important. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Last week we started talking about the blood as our Passover and our takeover. The blood as our Passover and our takeover. We went on, we started from Exodus 12, I believe. I was talking about when the concept of Passover was introduced in Exodus 12, how that from Genesis 15, God had told Abraham that his seed, his children, the nation that was going to come out of him would be in captivity for 400 years. You remember? You can put it up for me. We'll be in captivity for 400 years, and at a certain time, he was going to judge the people, the hidden nation, who was going to take them into captivity. Amen. He was going to judge that nation and bring the people out with great substance. And he said he was going to give them all this land, and he mentioned all the ites. Hallelujah. He was going to bring them up with great substance and cause them to inherit the land. All right. And then he said that they will still be there until the iniquity of the Amorites is complete. Amen. Until their cup was full. And also, what nation whom they shall say, will I judge? And afterward shall they come forth with great substance. But in the fourth generation, they shall come hither again. For the iniquity of the Amorite is not yet full. And I went further to explain that. And over to Exodus 12, we saw how God did that. We saw how God raised a man called Moses. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Raised a man called Moses and sent him to bring out his people. But you see, before Moses left, God told him something very important. He says, I know that Pharaoh will not let them go except by a mighty hand. And we saw that the demonstration of that mighty hand was the blood, was the Passover, which was the type of Christ. Never forget, we say that Christ, the spirit of Christ, is older than the Jesus that appeared in the book of Matthew. Amen. And all the way from the Garden of Eden, after the fall of Adam, we saw that the spirit of Christ was unveiled in the lamb, in the animal that was slain, whose skin was used to wrap Adam and Eve. That was Christ being made manifest. I told you that man's attempt to handle his sin will always lead to more discomfort. Remember that? Adam took fig leaves and covered himself, figs each. So every of man's attempt to handle his sin will cause more discomfort. But so when Jesus, when the Father showed up in that place after they hid himself, what was his answer? The blood. Hallelujah. And then we saw Christ revealed. Fast forward to Exodus, Passover. We said that was the type of Christ. And we read from 1 Corinthians chapter 5, I believe, verse 7, it says, Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us. Hallelujah. The Passover handled. All right, let's go to Exodus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Exodus chapter 12. Verse 5 talks about the lamb that shall be without blemish, a male of the first year, okay, a type of Christ. All right, when you get home, you can read it. But I want you to read, from verse 11 now. When you get home, read from 1 to 10 to give you a background. And thus shall he eat it, with your loins gathered, your shoes on your feet, and your staff in your hand. And he shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. For I will pass through the land of Egypt this night, and I will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast. And against all the gods of Egypt will I execute judgment. I am the Lord. And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where ye are. Amen. I see the blood, I will pass over you. And the plague shall not come upon you to destroy you. And when I smite the land of Egypt. And this day shall be unto you for a memorial. And ye shall keep it a feast to the Lord throughout your generations. Ye shall keep it a feast by an ordinance forever. Can I get an amen? Can I get an amen? Alright, jump to verse 22. It says, and ye shall take a bunch of hyssop and dip it in the blood. Now, this was the application now. Dip it in the blood that is in the basin. And strike the lintel and the two side posts with the blood that is in the basin. And none of you shall go out of the door of his house until the morning, for the Lord will pass through to smite the Egyptians. And when he seeth the blood upon the lintel and the two sides of the post, oh come on now, the Lord will pass over the door and will not suffer the destroyer to come in into your houses for to smite you. Now let me just have a little side attraction. When you read his story, it talks about the destroyer. It talks about the destroyer. And many have taught for years that God keeps a special destroyer. He's talking about Satan. Amen. He's talking about Satan. Satan has an inherent passion to destroy. Just like the story of the prophet when the prophet saw in the spirit, I believe it was in the time of Ahab's son? He saw in the spirit that there was a lying spirit. How many of you remember the story? A lying spirit from the Lord came upon the false prophet. And they told the king what he wanted to hear. The question is, does God keep lying spirits? Let me tell you this. In the Old Testament, Satan too is concealed. There was no revelation of Satan in the Old Testament until Jesus came. There was no revelation of Satan. You read your Bible, there was no revelation of Satan. Just a little here, a little there. But what we know from the teachings of Jesus and from the writings of the apostle about that evil one, about Satan, was concealed in the Old Testament. And that was why you notice that most of the prophets wrote certain things in permissive term. When you see that, and the Lord destroyed, that's permissive. And the evil spirit from the Lord, that's permissive. If somebody listen to me. That's permissive. They didn't know who Satan was. Go and read the book of Job. Job didn't know who attacked him. He thought he was the Lord. But this man was righteous according to the Bible. That means he had some form of covenant with God. But yet Satan was not revealed to him. Will somebody listen? So, he saw his children died. He lost his business. And yet he didn't know it was Satan that did it. He said, the Lord give it, the Lord take it. Blessed be the name of the Lord. But you see, now you have the luxury of having the book of Job. So you understand that Satan was behind his affliction. But you see, he didn't know. He thought he was the Lord. That's just a side attraction. Did you get something from there? It will help you in your study of scriptures. God is consistent. God is not schizophrenic. God does not have splitted minds. God is consistent. God is a God of love. God is inherently light, and there is no darkness in him. For you to understand the Bible, there is a lens you must use. The lens of God's love and the lens of his grace. So when you see anything, you must interpret it in the light of the nature of God, in the light of the character of God, as revealed in scriptures. Glory to God. The same thing, when you see anything written in the Bible, you must know what is addressed to you and what is not addressed to you. Because it's not everything in the Bible that is addressed to you. You open your Bible to Jeremiah and say, woe unto you. Say, you just shit. It wasn't addressed to you. Can I get an amen? Some have read from the scriptures, For his thoughts are not our thoughts, and his ways are not our ways. You see, God's thoughts are not our thoughts, his ways are not our ways. Was it addressed to you? Was it addressed to you? I believe that's Isaiah 55. Was it addressed to you? No. He was writing to the wicked. Is there in that scripture? So you don't even need a New Testament balance to understand that. When you read the scripture in context, you understand who he's talking to. In the New Testament, we are his reproduction. Do you understand? We are his offspring. He said, let this mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus. So how could we say his mind is not your mind? He said, for you have the mind of Christ. God wants you to think like him. That was why he gave us his word. He wants us to think like him. He wants us to have his thoughts so that we can understand his ways. But see, someone cannot change that. His thoughts are not your thoughts. His ways are not. Say, oh, see the Bible? Well, his thoughts are higher than our thoughts, as the earth is far from the heavens. But that's not what he's saying. Quickly, put that Isaiah 55 or Proverbs 9, I believe. You see there. This is a side attraction, though, and I know he's blessing someone already. God's thoughts are our thoughts. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways. And my thoughts are... Can you see? Go to the previous verse. Verse 8. Verse 7. Can you see? Who is he talking to? Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Can you see? So who was he addressing, talking about the thought into? The wicked and the unrighteous. Let the wicked man forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God for you abundantly pardon. Can you see? For my thoughts, now that's God talking. Because my thought is a continuation, address the wicked and the unrighteous. This is why the Bible talks about rightly dividing the word of truth. Have you ever heard preachers quote, for the heart of man is desperately wicked? Who can know it? And he addressed Christians like that. He said, God, they say the Bible says our heart is desperately wicked. Who can? Then you are not born again. Who can know it? They say it's a mystery. Even when we are born again, the Bible says our heart is desperately wicked. Confusion. You can't be born again and have a wicked heart. Didn't you from your Bible? He says, I will give you a new heart. He said, I will replace your heart of stone with a heart of flesh. I will write my laws upon the tablets of your heart. I will cause you to walk in my statutes. That's not addressed to the Christian. He said, the heart of man is just really wicked. Who can know it? Because the Christian misbehaved. The Christian who is misbehaving has a problem with his mind. His mind has not been renewed. He has not allowed the love of God overwhelm his consciousness. Are you listening? So your heart is not desperately wicked. That wasn't written to you. Why? You are of faith. You are of faith. You are of faith. The faith of the Son of God brought you forth. It took that faith to get you born again. So if you are born again, you have believed the greatest thing already, which is the resurrection of Jesus. Do you know the greatest power ever demonstrated is the resurrection of Jesus? Was released in the resurrection of Jesus. And that meant the biggest event on earth was the resurrection. Are you aware? So you have believed the biggest events. So there's nothing you can't believe God for anymore. Oh, somebody didn't get that. Somebody didn't get that. Glory to God forevermore. How did I get here? Satan is concealed. Talking about the destroyer, right? Working with God. Doesn't mean God keeps destroyers. Satan has a passion for destruction. You remember in 1 Thessalonians, I believe, when he talked about the Antichrist. He said, he that letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. He said, then the man of sin shall be revealed. I told you about three things to know about the word Antichrist. The spirit of the Antichrist, the system of the Antichrist, and the person of the Antichrist. The spirit of the Antichrist was released in Genesis 3. The system of the Antichrist began to be built from Genesis 6. When the man Nimrod Cush came forward and began to build things using demonic patterns, showed him. Glory to God. I'm going to say it was the beginning of witchcraft. That was the beginning of the system of the Antichrist. That's what we call Babylonian system. And that is why we insist that as a believer, you don't just switch kingdoms, you must switch systems. Glory to God forevermore. You must switch system. You must switch system. So the system of the Antichrist is already in operation. But you see, the person of the Antichrist is not yet revealed. It's not yet manifested. You know why? Because we are still here. Oh. Because we are still here. Listen, the Antichrist can never, forget those films you watch. Oh. The Antichrist can never be released. Can never be unveiled. Can never be manifested in dominion until the church is taken away. That's what that scripture is saying. He that letteth to let until be taken out of the way. He said, then the man of sin shall be revealed. Why? We host the Holy Spirit. We are the restraining power of evil. The world is going to go in flames the moment we are taken out. The whole world will go in flames. Not God destroying them all, themselves. Coming under the manipulation of Satan. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So he said, I will not suffer the destroyer. Back to Exodus. Exodus 12. Who enjoyed that detour? And when he sees the blood on it, okay. We're in verse 23, right? And the two disciples, I will not suffer the destroyer to come in unto your houses to smite you. And you shall observe this thing for an ordinance to thee and for thy sons forever. All right, jump to verse 34. Okay, let's start from 31. Exodus 12, 31. Are you guys still here? And he called, thank you, Holy Spirit. And he called for Moses, that's Pharaoh now. And Aaron by night, and said unto them, rise up, get thee forth from among my people, both ye and the children of Israel, and go, serve the Lord, as he hath said. Also take your flocks and your heads, as he hath said. When blood enters into the business, you have it as he. And be gone, and bless me also. The humbled Pharaoh, oh God. Now this Pharaoh talking, he said, the God King. He said, and bless me. He was helpless. He thought he was in charge. He thought he had all the gods in the world. But there was a great I Am. The only one true God. I told you, God is one. God is not three. Amen. God is one. If God is three, that means there are more somewhere. God is one. One in three offices. Amen. Do you understand? He said, for the Lord your God is but one God. God is one. I've told you that the concept of Trinity is two persons in three offices. Can you remember? Because the Holy Spirit is the same thing as the Father. And I told you that in the Bible, you never hear when the Holy Spirit is talking to the Father. Or when the Father is talking to the Holy Spirit. Because they are one and the same person. The Holy Spirit spoke to the Son. The Son spoke to the Holy Spirit. The Son spoke to the Father. The Father spoke to the Son. But you never see a conversation between the Holy Spirit and the Father. Why? It's one and the same person. Somebody did not get that. He said, for the Lord thy God is but one God. They are not three. Do you understand? If you see three people, that means they came from somewhere. That means there should be more in that place that they came from. Oh, hallelujah. Glory to God forever. And bless me also. And the Egyptians were urgent upon the people that they might send them out of the land in haste. For they said, we be all dead men. There was terror upon them. During the prayer meeting, I told you, I said, we are not the ones to be terrorized. No. We send terror upon the camp of the enemies of the church. We're not the ones to be already all the time. Let's intercede. Some Christians are even afraid. That devil is a liar. We're not the ones to be terrorized. We send terror to their camp. The Bible says the fear of Jacob the terror of Jacob was upon all the villages and towns round about, and they could not pursue the sons of Jacob. This is how our terror has come upon our enemies in this city and in this nation, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. For we are but all dead men. And the people took their dough before it was leaving, and their kneading troughs, being bound upon their clothes, upon their shoulders. And the children of Israel did according to the word of Moses. And they borrowed of the Egyptians, I want you to follow this, jewels of silver, and jewels of gold, and raiment. Why? For the Lord gave the people favor in the sight of the Egyptians, so that they lent unto them such things as they required. And they spoiled the Egyptians. Listen. The blood of Jesus covers our prosperity. The blood of Jesus covers our prosperity. It is because of the blood that we will no longer be empty-handed. You remember what God told Abraham? He said they will come out with great substance. They will not come out empty-handed. Is somebody listening to me this morning? Listen, you have a blood-bought inheritance. No believer is a hustler. And that is why I'm against using that term as a Christian. I've told you again and again, never say you are hustling. It's an insult to God. You are a prince of power with God. The day you got born again, you were born into an inheritance. You were born into a blood-bought inheritance. Are you listening to me? Wait, do you really think that everything you require to do what God has called you to do is going to come by your effort? Do you really think so? You are joking. It's not possible. It's not possible. We saw a shadow of what God was set to do with the church, with the children of Israel. We saw a shadow of it, how he brought them out of bondage by blood. And in the same vein, he broke us out of the dominion of sin and Satan by the blood of his son Jesus. That's why he said, Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us. So because of the sacrifice of Jesus, we are broken out of the dominion of Satan and the dominion of sin. Is it thanks be unto God who has translated us from the kingdom of darkness, who has delivered us from the kingdom of darkness, and has translated us into the kingdom of his dear son. Can you see that? How did he do it? By the blood of his son, by the sacrifice of his son, by Christ our Passover. We were born into a blood-bought inheritance. I say it again, the day you got born again, that is why it's called born again. There was a first birth. The one you were giving birth, when you were giving birth to by your mother, that one is a born unto death. That was why you needed to be born how? Again. Geno or nothing. It means to be born from above. It means to be born from heaven. That's why I say we are aliens from heaven. Genuine nothing is a birth. That blood gave birth to us. That blood broke us out and brought us in. He brought us forth and brought us in. Very important. That's why I say the blood is both our Passover and our takeover. The Passover brought us out. But the takeover is delivering our inheritance into our hands. And you know what our inheritance is? The nations. I'm going to get there in these teachings. The nations. Remember, I showed you last week that from Genesis 12, Genesis 13, when you get to Genesis 13, we saw that Abraham was doing well. How many of you remember that? The Bible says Abraham was extremely rich. Genesis 13 verse 2, you see that. Rich in silver and in gold. In servants. I mean, he was big. But you see, when we got to Genesis 15, the conversation changed. You remember? I made mention of that last week. That the conversation changed. God began to talk to Abraham that what I have in mind is not just you doing well. It's not just you having money. No, it's not just you being extremely rich. Well, that's nice, but that's a means to an end. I have an inheritance in mind. I want to give you this land unto your seed forever. And Abraham said, how shall I know that you give me this land? Why? Because Abraham lived in days. Number one, where wickedness abounded. I told you that the witchcraft and the manipulation and the sorcery of those days were greater than these days. And there were bullies everywhere. You remember Ched Lahoma? Chedo Lahoma. The bully, Genesis 14. And also he lived in the days where they understood blood covenants. And that meant when someone gave you a promise, how do you know you can hold him to his word? Blood covenants. I'm going somewhere. So here's God giving Abraham a promise that I will give you this land. He said, Lord, how shall I know that I and my seed will inherit this land? God said, bring me a turtle dove. Bring me a heifer. Bring me a goat. Kalabosote kebre keposha. And it's all there. Of 3 years old. And then he tore them into pieces. I explained all that last week. And God put him to sleep. And he passed through the blood, cutting covenant with himself on behalf of Abraham. But here's the point. The conversation changed. And God introduced his inheritance. Listen, brothers and sisters, we own this world. Until we lay claims upon this world, we can't change it. Oh, I say that again. Until we lay claims on the world, we can't change it. We can't reach it. We can't change it. Why do you hear us shout, the world is mine, and the fullness thereof? You know, I heard it in the confession. I was wondering, hope God's people understand what is being said. Some people were scared to say, the world is mine and the fullness thereof. But it's in the Bible. God gave his word out to one man. His name is Abraham. And he didn't give him alone. He gave it to him and his seed. Seed, singular, not plural. I want you to begin to think institution. I want you to begin to think kingdom. I want you to begin to think nations. When you think only of your pocket, your wife, your children, your husband, your siblings alone, you are living below God's standard and below God's voice and below what God wants to do. Did you hear what I said? When you just begin to live for yourself, I told you last week, I said only animals live like that. You were created for a higher purpose. You were created for dominion. And it's deliberate. It's not something that will happen by and by, happen by itself. It's deliberate. You have to know it. If you switch to survival mode, you'll be dissatisfied with your life. Because you are not created for survival. I'm aware that the situation in Africa is not pleasant. I'm aware. But that makes no difference. That's why God is showing us light from his word. That look, we're not created for survival. So don't stay in survival mode. Just having enough to get by. No, God is thinking dominion. God is thinking dominion. God is thinking dominion. You know, when I walk to a hospital that is not working, what do I think of? Believers have not taken their place. Do you know when a hospital, a big hospital, government hospital, is not functioning well, the problem is because the wrong person is there. Are you aware? But why? Why is the wrong person? They are complaining, he's not paying doctors, this is happening, they are corrupt, they are eating money, this is happening. Why? Because the wrong people are there. But if believers can think dominion, can think their inheritance, God wants us to possess the nations with the institutions in them. Are you aware? I'm going to show you from scripture. So you don't get into an institution, into a nation, into a city just to make ends meet. But living below God's dream for you. You go there as an envoy. You go there as an emissary. You go there as an apostle, a sent one, to establish the kingdom of God there. The hospital is not run well. Do you know how many people have died because hospitals are not run well? I'm using it as an example. Do you know how many people? No, assume if there was a believer who knows that it's God's will for it. But what are believers doing? Looking for salary. Looking to buy a new car. To build their house, to send their children to school. That is less. And the less is included in the greater. Are you listening to me? Taking possession. We didn't know this. Do you know how many things the world and your cultic worker world has taken from the church? Are you aware? Do you know Harvard University, the oldest institution of learning in America, was established as a place to train preachers? Are you aware? Name another John Harvard, established 1636. Name another Unitarian preacher, John Harvard, who was the first benefactor of the institution. That was the destiny that was set. And God had a vision for it. I didn't have a problem with it going into a full-scale university, teaching education, medicine, and all that, and business and all that. But you see, it has been hijacked. How many of you know that Harvard has been hijacked? Where's the word Harvard? I should lock you up in that toilet. These are places of influence. Are you listening to me? These are places of influence. No, you enter an office with Harvard certificate and see what will happen. Enter anywhere in this country and say, I came from Harvard. And see everybody's attitude towards you change. Everybody, including the ogre of the place. But it's been hijacked. Why? We're not thinking nations. We're not thinking our inheritance. We thought God left us here to prepare for heaven. I've told you the deception of that ideology. I've taught you before. People not doing what they are supposed to do because of that ideology. Glory to God. Yes, we are going to go to heaven. But Jesus never told us. You know the prayer Jesus prayed in John 17. He said, I do not pray that you take them from this world. I believe you have read it before. I was surprised the first time. He said, Lord, I'm not praying that you should take them from this world, but I'm praying that you keep them in this world and be with them in this world. What the prayer? And many Christians are planning to run. He said, I pray that you keep them in this world. I do not pray that you take them out of this world. That's Jesus praying. When he gave us how the kingdom operates in the Bible, what the master said to his servant before he left, he said, occupy till I come. A translation says, do business till I come. Occupy till I come. Oh boy, that's bold, brother. Occupy till I come. Meaning, take charge. Thank you. Take charge. Take charge. Take charge. Did you ever read in Revelation where the Bible says the kings came to cast their crowns at his feet as instruments of worship? So if you don't have crown, what do you want to use to worship? Selah. Who understood what that meant? Meaning you use your influence. Your crown is your influence. If you are in the military, you tell yourself, I'm going to be a chief of defense staff someday. I'll do what I can do from where I am, but we are aiming for that place because we know what we can do with it. Do you understand? Whoever told you that big dreams were selfish? Who told you that? Rather, most times small dreams are self-centeredness, selfishness. No, when you're just thinking about yourself, it's selfishness. Oh. There was a brother in school, fellowship brother in school, I'll never forget. We were talking about prosperity. The way we were talking in school, you know, one guy looked at me one day. He said, even though I know you guys, you are just talking billions like that. I thought this big. He said, even though I know you guys, I would have said, you guys are up to something, into fraud. You see, can you see his reasoning? When you talk billions, he thinks you must be a fraudster to get there. He was raised wrong. He was raised wrong. You know, This is one of the reasons people cannot handle pastors being wealthy and prosperous. Because of their upbringing. They thought that pastors were those small boys that is bought of elders that decide their salary. You understand? Some elders just sit and say, put their glasses, say, increase it to 30,000. Once they reach 30,000. 30,000. We have poor people to take care of. Bring it down to 20,000. So they thought that was God's operational system. Let me not go into all that. So pastor should be wearing collar. You know that white thing? Have you ever seen me with it? That white collar. And coats. Who has nothing to do but to come and preach on Sunday and on Tuesday? That takes me to the second reason. Why people don't think a pastor should prosper? Because they actually think pastors are not doing anything. So what do they do? It's not just to preach. It's not just to preach. On Sunday, just preach and go home. They say, the thing after I preach, I go, just cross our legs, watch movie till Tuesday. Go and play game till Tuesday. Then Tuesday afternoon, for midweek service, say, okay, what do I teach now? What do I talk on today? Salvation. And I'll open and put some scriptures together and say, good evening, brethren in Christ. Our topic today is salvation. Salvation. Let's read our text. Let's have a memory verse. You know, people have those layers of thoughts in their heads. So they really know that they really don't know who a preacher is. By God's standard. They don't know. And listen, one of the most powerful things on earth is a mindset. Are you aware? How you are programmed to think and to respond to your environment. Mindset. In fact, the greatest force in the world today is mindset. So when a man is trapped in the wrong way of thinking, it's difficult. It's going to take the power of God's word. You know when the Bible talks about the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. He told us what the strongholds are. Casting down reasonings. Imaginations. Those are the strongholds. It says, and every thought, everything that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing every thought into obedience. It's talking about mindsets, dogmas, Luciferian dogmas, satanic mindsets, Babylonian mindsets. That's what it's talking about. And Satan propagates those things to keep God's people out of God's best. So when a Christian has big dreams, and listen, say, Pastor, what if it's an ambition and it's not a vision? It's clear. A vision will include others. Yeah. Ambition is just yourself and your family. If it's a vision, in that thing you see others benefiting. You hear it in the voice. You see it in the plan. If it's an ambition, it's just self-centered. If it's a vision, it goes beyond you. And when you see a man with a vision, you know. He gives things out, time, resources at the expense of himself, because he has seen that real success is helping others become successful. He has seen that real success is being a part of the success story of others. He has seen that real success, real fulfillment comes from lifting others. That is the life we've been called to live. And listen, to really, really bless people, you must have influence. To really, really advance the kingdom of God, you must have influence. Let me bring this balance for you. There is no telling. The only balance to greatness and prosperity is to be kingdom minded. When you are sold out to God and what God wants, there is no telling of how much you should have and how far you should go. Never forget that. Because nothing can take you away from God. Why? He has your primary allegiance. He has got your heart. Do you understand? God's got your heart, man. He's got your heart, bro. So nothing, if they carry the whole money in the world and give you, he first has your heart. And whoever has the heart stirs the hand. Do you understand? So if what you want to do is motivated by your love for God, your love for people, I don't care how big it is, God is going to help you make it come to pass. But it must be big. That's what I'm saying. You must see the whole world as your estate. I'll show you the scriptures shortly. You must see the whole world as your estate. God willed it to Abraham and his seed. And we are the seed of Abraham. No, it's amazing. The whole world God gave you to one man. And he gave it to that one man and his seed. So everyone who is not a seed of Abraham is a tenant in this world. Including Dubai. Amen. The people in Dubai. Do you understand? Including New York. Do you understand? They are rebel holders of inheritance. And as we enter with the spirit of Joshua and Caleb, we'll take them over. Do you understand? When you enter an industry, you think of controlling the place. Don't go there to play small. Don't go there to make the ends meet. The end will never meet. Do you understand? You know this statement, say, let's make ends meet. The end will never meet. Forget about it. No, do you think God put Adam in the Garden of Eden to survive? Was that what happened? No, look at Adam in the garden before the fall. Why was he there? Was he there to have food? God said, when you till, you eat. Is that what? No. No. He already had everything he needed. Everything. Do you know that's our position in Christ? We have everything we already need. We are in this world to till God's garden and to replicate it around the world. Can I get an amen? This must be our thinking. We try to make ends meet, bros. We are putting body and soul together. Wrong talking. That's survival mood. Say, how things? We are surviving. You know, you see, you were taught wrong. A Christian does not survive. He lives by the blood of Jesus. And by that blood, everything in the world has been given to him. Bros, we are surviving. No, don't survive. Take a hold of your inheritance. When Jesus hung on that cross, he had you in mind. Yes, he did. He did. The blood, our Passover, and our takeover.
Hallelujah.
I said hallelujah. Do you know what happened to the children of Israel by the reason of this blood? Quickly, give me that. Deuteronomy 6:23. Let me show you something. The Passover and the takeover. Let me build an argument from here too. He said to every beast, Deuteronomy 6:23. Thank you, Jesus. Am I borrowing you? Are you learning something? Look at this. You know, many kalabako social tokepa. Many Christians stop at the first part. Just the Passover. They say, our sins are forgiven. God has saved us. We're on our way to heaven. Now, let me correct something here. The promised land is not heaven. Canaan is not a type of heaven. Egypt is a type of the world. But Canaan is not a type of heaven. Let me say that again. Egypt is a type of the world. Canaan, the promised land, you know, everything in the Old Testament is type and shadows. Amen? So Egypt is a type of the world. The blood of Jesus broke you out of the world. But Canaan, which is the promised land, is not a type of heaven. No, it's a type of our place in Christ. There are no giants in heaven. Did you get that? You know, a lot of Christians think that Canaan is a type of heaven. So we are coming on our way to heaven, we are in the wilderness. Now lie. That teaching is not consistent with scriptures. Canaan is not a type of heaven. Canaan is our place in Christ. Remember, Jesus said, in my Father's house, there are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. He says, behold, I go to prepare a place for you. He says, so that where I am, you'll be also. It's a positional thing in the realm of the spirit. No, if you don't know that, you think that scripture is a contradiction. If there are many mansions, how will you go and prepare a place for you? Is that not contradiction? It's talking about our place in Him. You hear the expression in Christ. How many of you see that in the New Testament? In Christ, in Christ, in Christ. Christ is not just a person. Christ is a place. Do you understand? There's our position in Christ. Question. How many of you are already in Christ? Let me see your hand. Are you in heaven already? The literal heaven? No. The promised land is our place in Christ. So there are giants that confront us as we take our place, as we take our possession. Well, there are no giants in heaven. Giants, which giants is there? Satan attempted rebellion, he was kicked out. So you understand this now. I just wanted to give a background. He said he brought us out from things that he might bring us in to give us the land which he swore unto our fathers. Remember, he swore by blood to give a land. And he said he brought us out that he might bring us in. That's the point. You came out to get in. Meaning, all that was on God's mind was not your salvation from sin. No. He wants to give you a land. That's all talk about our inheritance. Hallelujah. He brought us out that he may bring us in. The Moses dispensation was the dispensation that brought out. The Joshua dispensation was the dispensation that brought in. You know, there were two Moses is dead in the Bible. Deuteronomy said, now my servant Moses is dead. Joshua, he said, now my servant Moses is dead. Now, the one in Deuteronomy is Moses as a person. The one in Joshua is Moses as a dispensation. And you must understand, it's very important. There's Moses as a person. There's Moses as I'm going somewhere. There's Moses as a dispensation. He said, now my servant Moses is dead. Moses, the person, is dead. He came to Joshua chapter 1. He said, now my servant Moses is dead. So rise up and take my people. He was introducing another dispensation. And do you know what he told him? He said, as I was with Moses, I'll be with you. He didn't say, what I did with Moses, I'll do with you. Oh God. As I was with Moses. So somebody say, yeah, but this was not the message our fathers preached. This was not the emphasis our fathers laid. Oh boy, this is Joshua's generation. There were those who were anointed to bring us out of Egypt, but there are those who have been anointed to distribute the inheritance to the tribes of Israel. And I'm one. Are you listening? God introduced a dispensation. Do you know the moment the cross over Jordan, manna ceased? Lagabaladaba. Manna ceased. In another dispensation, Joshua began to divide their inheritance. Moses was meeting their needs. They cry for manna. They say, manna take. Oh, is somebody listening to me? They say, one food. He says, oh, quail four. But the dispensation of Joshua is the dispensation of possession of the land. Is somebody listening to me? This is where we are in the body of Christ. Do you understand? So we are passed from the time of, oh, Lord, manna, manna. They say, take. I need healing, healing. How long? I need deliverance. How long? By now you should be delivered. You should be healed. Do you understand? Manna ceased. In crossing the Red Sea, dry land. When they crossed Jordan, the God went. Different dispensation. Is somebody listening to me? Different dispensation. He brought us out, Moses, that he might bring us in, Joshua. He said, Joshua, I'm calling you to take these people into the inheritance and to share the land. To divide for them the portions that I've given to them. Is somebody learning something? We're in the generation of takeover. Generation of taking territories. Education. Media. Governance and politics. Is somebody listening? Economy. Commerce. Medicine. Is somebody listening to me? Fashion. Science and technology. It's not time to be waiting for manna. The dispensation has changed. It's time to take possession. Oh, is somebody listening to me this morning? Hey, Kalabosh! time for possession. It's time. Give me Deuteronomy chapter 6 from verse 10. It's time for possession. Oh Lord, I'm believing you. My house rent. And then you use 3 months to believe God for house rent. Something is wrong with you. You don't understand the dispensation. At 23, you should be thinking about owning an estate. The time to be looking for scholarship has finished, though.
Yes, sir.
To be crying, Lord, God, it's time to give. Is somebody understanding what I'm saying? Moses is dead. So we now think it is, praise the Lord. I got, how old are you? You are 27. I got a scholarship. I've been waiting for it for 2 years. What were you doing for 2 years? Waiting for scholarship. That 2 years is enough to give out scholarship. Yes, I believe you can get scholarship, but that cannot be your primary thinking. No! Waiting a long time to give testimony that you got scholarship. No! 2 years, too long. What is on us can position you to give scholarships out. I pray somebody will catch this in this service. We are in a new dispensation. Moses is dead. This is time to take possession. This is what we're talking about. The blood, our takeover. The blood, it's not time to be laid back. It's time to get involved. Do you understand? It's time to get involved. It's not time to be quarreling with your mom that they didn't send you pocket money. It's time to say, Mama, I don't need it. Send me your account number. Is somebody listening to me? This is how we must think. It's a must. There's no option. This is not time for foreign aid. Say, America should give us money. Europe, this is not time for foreign aid. Manna has ceased. Are you listening? We're talking about the blood, our Passover, and our takeover. I'm getting to the takeover phase. Because a Christianity less than this is an irresponsible Christianity. Do you understand? It's irresponsible. Irresponsible. Didn't you observe that the generation that was looking for manna and quail did not enter into the promised land?
Yes.
They did not. They were distracted. They could not see the picture that God was showing them. They thought all they needed from God was healing, a good job, a good wife, a good marriage. They couldn't enter. Your focus must change. Are you listening? Use your faith to do outrageous, to do great things, to lay hold. Look at what Caleb said. He came and met Joshua. He said, "Give me this mountain." Can somebody say that in prayer? Can somebody say that in prayer? You enter into a bank and you know God has called you to a banking sector. You may be at the counter, but you go on your knees in prayer. Lord, give me this mountain. Give me this mountain. Not saying, Lord, give me promotion. I want to move to level 9. No. That's too slow. Are you listening? Caleb said, "Give me this mountain." But he said, "Because you heard what the servant of the Lord Moses said to me 40 years ago. Lebakapa, when I return with a good report." And he gave me this way by word of promise. "Joshua, I'm meeting you now. Give me this mountain." He said, "For I am strong now, both to go out and to come in." He said, "For as I am strong now as I was 40 years ago." And listen, do you know the mountain was filled with giants? Yes. The Bible says, and he went up, Calabaya, and he defeated the giants, and he took the land from them. Is somebody listening to me? You are working in the hospital, the CMD is misbehaving. You may be a young doctor, tell yourself, in the next 8 years, I'll be in charge of this place, and we'll turn things around. Are you listening? That's the way you should be thinking. The people that don't have two heads, is somebody listening to me? We have slept for too long. I know this is birthing visions in the hearts of some people here. This is birthing something holy in the hearts of some people here. This is birthing something from heaven, divine, in the heart of certain people here. Give me this mountain. Give me this mountain. That should be our prayer. Did Caleb ask for a house? Talk to me, somebody. Was Caleb asking for daily bread? I said, give us this day our daily bread. Shut up. Who told you? Did Jesus tell us to pray like that? He was talking to fallen men and giving a pattern of prayer. Did he tell you that that was how he prayed? He said, when you pray, say. He didn't say, when I pray, this is what I say. He says, when you pray, say. Was Jesus asking for daily bread? The man that was turning, oh Shagabala Bosoto. He was in charge. He wasn't asking for daily bread. With daily bread. He was feeding men. He was giving men bread. He wanted to feed 5,000. He multiplied the bread and gave them. He wasn't asking for daily bread. He told them they were under the law. He said, when you pray, say. It's not a pattern of prayer. Have you ever heard us pray? It's not the Lord's prayer. If you want to read the Lord's Prayer, go to John 17, the Lord's Prayer. I've thought of that. I thought on that many years ago. It's not the Lord's Prayer. Okay. Give us this day our daily bread. You are living. Was Caleb asking for daily bread? Which daily bread? If you are living for daily bread, you are living like an animal. It's animals that look for food every day. He says, the sparrows. The sparrows, they do not sow, they do not reap, yet your Father takes care of them. He said, you are worth more than many sparrows. Sparrows, that one is available today, tomorrow is gone. He said, I provide for them. Don't be provision minded. Be kingdom minded. Ask for mountains. Ask for mountains. Are you listening? Caleb said, give me this mountain. The reason why most of you are trapped for a long time is because you're asking for daily bread. Ask for mountain. Ask for mountain. Give me this mountain. No, I've told you before. You can't ask God, that Lord, this year I want to pay school fees for 100 people. And not have school fees for your children. It's not possible. Try it. It's not possible. It's not possible. Say, Lord, this year I've been seeing many people who are not going to school because of school fees. I want to give scholarship to 50 people this year. And you are praying. Yet, oh, you didn't have money to eat yesterday. And you are saying, Lord, I want to pay school. That's what we're talking about. Lord, I want to pay fees for 50 people this year. And you and your wife are joining hands. And say, this is what we want to do. Watch if you look for money to pay your children's school fees. You will not. Why? This is how the kingdom of God is organized to operate. You will not look for money to pay your children's school fees. But when I be there, oh Lord, these children's school fees, help us, oh Lord. You are wasting time. He's saying, kingdom is not central in your hands. Give me this mountain. Rise to your feet. I wanted to open your mouth. I don't know what was going through your mind as I was preaching, but I wanted to open your mouth and talk to the Lord. You've been asking for bread instead of asking to feed the 5,000. You've been asking. For a fish instead of asking for the ocean. Open your mouth. I want prayers. I want hunger to go up in prayers. Strong desire. Shakapate kapos. Malika porabasa stoliate pokutu. Shaliato paliato koposuta. We will live in a better world when Christians begin to think like this. Not asking for daily bread. Shaka pala koskata. Leko praktila kobalia topa. Jali go poto.
This is the kingdom. This is the kingdom. Palabos sataliata. Jalaga bralias otoke bralias. Jaka palato baliata. Malaradados, 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 malaradados. Lord, give me this mountain. Lord, give me this mountain. Shaka pala bos,
shaka pa deke bata.
Shaka
talika pa.
Lord,
this mountain, laka paya.
Lika bos,
shaka deke deke bata.
Irakas
kata.
We
bring the nations.
He says,
we set
a city
above
the nations
of the world.
I will set you
above
the nations.
Moses is dead. He said, rise now and divide for these people an inheritance. It's not just to be looking for manna. No. It's time to take possession. Because in this land, everything you need, you have.
Oh my God.
Favor is at work. So you get things you do not labor for. Things that others are running after, you get it for free. While your passion is to take the land. Look at what he said. Go back to that Deuteronomy 6.
And it shall be when the Lord thy God hath brought into the land which he swore unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, to Jacob, to give thee great and goodly cities which thou buildest not. Are you seeing this? Cities that you did not build. That's what happens when you are after the inheritance. Next verse. And houses full of all good things which thou fillest of, which you did not fill. Give me New King James. Look at this. It's a house is full of all good things which you did not fill. Heal not wells which you did not dig. You'll be walking into prepared blessings. You'll be walking into things that have already been arranged. It's not time to manna. Cities that you did not build. Houses full of good things which you did not fill. Hewn out wells which you did not dig. Vineyards and olive trees which you did not plant. When you have eaten and you are full. Kai. He's showing you the picture of that promised land, of the land you have to possess. That means all of us are trying, some people are trying to build houses and feed them. Say, you will see houses built already, filled that you do not feel. When kingdom is what is on your mind, do you understand? When taking possession is what is on your mind. I don't care where you came from. I don't care how broke your parents are. I don't care how low you think of yourself. God is talking about you. I don't care how low you think of yourself. You think this is me? This is for some other people. No, God is talking about you. He's talking about you. If he's not talking about you, then the blood of Jesus is wasted. He's talking about you. Lord, we have the nations as our inheritance.
Yes, sir.
The utmost parts of the earth.
Yes.
As our possession.
Yes, yes.
Lift your two hands to whatever. I say this with me, Lord. We have the nations.
We have the nations
as our possession. And the utmost parts of the earth as our inheritance. We have the nations as our inheritance. And the utmost parts of the earth as our possession. We lay hold of them. We take hold of them. In the name of the Lord Jesus. There's such a mighty presence here. How many of you are asking for mountains this month? You're asking like Caleb, give me this mountain. It's not. Give me this mountain. Never switch on survival mode. Never. You may not have anything in your pocket. It's not money you need. It's understanding, revelation, and vision that you need. Never switch on survival mode. No, you are more than that. More than that is not survival. We're designed to live for visions, not survival. That's from Satan. Survival, will never survive. Dominate. We were created for dominion. No, it's in you. It's in you. How many of you notice that something you fight survival? It fights it. You can't just get by. No. That is not from God. You were crafted, designed for vision. Great vision. And that's my job. I'm talking to that seed of greatness. I'm talking to that seed of dominion on your inside. And that's why it's important. Preachers are sent to you. You know, there was someone that was here. He's in Abuja now. And we met recently. He was telling me, he said, Pastor, I attend a good church. But that thing that happens inside of me whenever I hear you doesn't happen anymore. I don't know why. And I told you, I say, you may be far, but get the materials and listen to them. You know why? They are men that are sent to you to speak to
to that seed on your inside. God has sent me to you this morning. As I'm talking, some of you are feeling that discomfort. You are feeling that sky. Pastor is talking to me. This is me. I always knew I was for something more. You know, some of you are crying. You know it. You know it. Don't settle for less. Don't let the circumstances around you make you switch on survival mode. No, it's not from God. You stand, I say, the blood is my Passover and my takeover. We have a speaking blood. That blood is speaking us to the top. Oh, is somebody here? That blood is speaking prosperity, speaking abundance, speaking favor. That blood is speaking to our hands that which we need. That blood is speaking open doors, whispering to the hearts of them of men, giving them commandments. God told Elijah, he said, go out to Zarephath, for I have commanded a widow there to sustain you. Elijah was a man on a mission. The blood is speaking to people on your behalf. I say the blood is speaking to people on your behalf. Can I get an amen? That blood is speaking for you. It's speaking for you. It's speaking for you. Trust him to complete it. Trust him. Listen, that's our confidence. That's our double protection, the blood. That is why anyone who comes against us, when the system, listen, I've told you again and again that this taking over we're talking about, you will meet giants. But it makes no difference. Caleb said they are but bread for us. They are part of the process. You will meet giants. You will stack opposition. You will stand before them and say the blood is against you. You will stand before the opposition and eat them like bread. You understand? Opposition will come. For you are. This is why the Bible talks about the fight of faith. Is a fight, the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life. Somebody hearing me this morning? So you don't back out because of opposition. Joshua and Caleb saw the giants. They saw the same thing that the 10 of the elders saw. But their report was different. They said, if the Lord be with us and if the Lord delights in us, you give us this land. Father, we thank you. We are taking cities and nations. We give you praise. All heads bow, all eyes close. You can drop your hand, everyone. Close your eyes. Still be on your feet, please. Let's honor God's presence. All eyes close, all heads bow. If you are here this morning and you have not given your heart to Jesus, you don't know him, you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you're not born again yet, I want to pray for you. Right where you are, I want you to raise your hand. You're saying, Pastor, pray for me. I need a relationship with the Lord. I need to be born again. I need to give my heart to him. Just raise your hand where you are, and I will pray for you. Raise your head where you are. God bless you, my sister over there. God bless you, my brother over there. Nothing to be ashamed of. Raise your hand high. Say, Jesus, I'm ready for you. Listen, all this good stuff is for those who are in Christ. And being in Christ is free. The good stuff are for you too. But you access it as you open your heart to Jesus and say, Jesus, I'm yours forever. I belong to you. Right where you are, just raise your head. Raise your head. Just raise your head where you are. Just come forward quickly. Come forward. Come forward. Take that bold step. Come forward. Come forward. Jesus loves you. Give you my heart. Give you my soul.
Hey, I live for you. Every moment I'm away. So Lord, have your way.
Your sin and is the solution to your problem. He loves you. He wants to give you his life and his righteousness. So I want you to pray this prayer after me. Is that okay? Believe in your heart. Believe in your heart. Every prayer, I want to believe this prayer with the whole of your heart. Say, Heavenly Father, say this up and say,
Dear God,
I believe that you love me. I believe that Jesus is the answer. Today, I come here believing that Jesus died for my sins. Jesus was raised for my justification. I surrender my heart to him today. I declare boldly that that same Jesus is my Lord and my Savior. I am saved. I am born again from today because I've called upon him and he has saved me. I'm a child of God. All things have passed away. Everything has become new. Thank you, Father. Father, I pray for these ones. Let your fire burn in their hearts. I pray that they are established. And they will be established in your grace and in your kingdom. Fill them with your Holy Spirit. They will grow and grow and grow and keep growing in the things of the Spirit. They will never go back. Your seed that has been sown in them will grow. It will keep them. It will make them productive for you. In the name of Jesus. Jesus loves you, my sisters. He loves you. Congratulations. Just hold on a little. You follow this lady. Don't talk. Come on, celebrate Jesus.
You have just listened to Pastor Erasmus Amewell, the senior pastor of the Embassy of Heaven. For more messages and information, log on to our website, www.theembassyofheaven.org. Stay blessed.